Good afternoon. Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. Your panel this afternoon is, to my right, Justice Ann Gardner. To my left, Justice Sue Walker. I'm Leanne Dofino. Yours is the only case we have set for oral submission, so you're the whole show. The rest of our afternoon will be spent dealing with cases submitted on briefs, so if everybody's ready to begin, I'll ask Bonnie to call the case.
The court will now call on how the $760 for the United States Attorney, 378 minus 15, located in the state of Texas. May it please the court, this is the team Michael Schneider, who argues for the account. This is Christopher W. Conner, who argues for the state.
Thank you. All right. Ready?
May it please the court, counsel. Today we're presented with a unique issue falling under Texas Penal Code Section 47.01. Specifically in this case, I think the facts are agreed to and weren't really in much dispute at trial. On January 28, 2011, the Tarrant County Sheriff's Office executed a search warrant authorizing seizure of gambling devices at my client's establishment, Magic Game Room. The sole grounds for this seizure, as alleged in their probable cause affidavit attached to that warrant, was that my client was allowing his customers to leave the establishment with tickets and come back at a later time and use those tickets to play again. Reviewing the case law, it doesn't appear that any court in this state has explicitly dealt with replay in this fashion. Looking to Penal Code Section 47.014B, the legislature has defined what a gambling device is and what it is not. Specifically, we believe that 47.014B provides a safe harbor under which my client was operating in conducting his business at Magic Game Room. Specifically, my client was operating a very clean and legitimate game room. He was not paying any cash, no cash under the table, no allegations of any of that by anybody appearing in this case at trial, or furthermore, following any investigation by law enforcement. Basically, customers would come into this establishment, generally older people, 50s and 60s was his target demographic, and they would use his establishment as kind of a social club. They would come in, they would play either $1, $5, or $10, which they would insert directly into these gaming machines. They were allowed to play until the credits that were assigned were depleted. They could also ticket out, and each ticket had a representation of 500 points, and they could use these tickets in one of two ways. They could turn in the ticket at the gift shop, redeemable for merchandise of less than a wholesale value of $5. Some of the items were paper plates, toiletry items, toys for the grandkids, that kind of thing. The other option was the customer could take the ticket to the attendant and have those 500 points moved to a different machine and continue playing on a different machine. If they felt another machine may be lucky, not lucky, more favorable, more fun, or just a different type, depending on what they enjoyed, they could play a different machine. Likewise, if the customer didn't want anything that was in the game room, they could leave with their ticket and come back at a later time and have their $500 credits put back onto a machine.
Counselor?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you agree that it was your burden of proof to establish that the machines didn't fall within the definition of gambling device?
I do, Your Honor. The Hardy case makes it clear that once the state makes a probable cause showing, then the burden shifts to the petitioner to argue that they, in fact, were not gambling devices.
Okay, what evidence is there in the record that the right of replay was not immediate?
I'm sorry?
What evidence
was immediate?
Right.
Well,
because you would be trying to establish that it was an immediate right of replay. So So were the tickets different colors? Did the tickets have time limitations on them? I mean, was there evidence in the record that the right of replay was limited to an immediate right of replay?
Your Honor, I would actually argue to the contrary. I think the evidence was clear at trial that they could come back at a later time and play those tickets. Our argument was that basically these tickets had no actual cash value. And number two, that even though it was not an immediate right to replay, we don't believe the statute makes an exclusion only to immediate. Now, it certainly says on defining what a thing of value is, it certainly says it does not include this particular thing, but we don't think that's exclusive. Basically, what we're arguing is that these amusement games were, in fact, in the right to play them, were, in fact, a novelty in and of itself. If you look at the definition of novelty in Webster's Dictionary, because it's not defined by statute, you will see that it is defined as a thing or action of fleeting amusement. And I can think of nothing more fleeting than playing these little video games. So we're arguing that even if these tickets represented a thing of value, it would barely be a novelty as defined, or a representation of value for that novelty, which was the playing of the games. So while I understand your question, Justice, was it immediate? No, the right of replay was not immediate. And we stipulated to that at trial, but we don't believe that that's the only way he can fit in that safe harbor, that that's a non-exclusive list. Now, if you look at the Hardy case, which we believe is the controlling case, that's the Supreme Court case from the early 2000s, they dealt with the issue of replay as it pertained to a different situation. Basically, in that case, the attendant would take the ticket, grab a $5 bill, and stick it back into the machine. Now, the Hardy court was clear. They said, you can't do that. And why is that? Because that violated the policy of this gambling statute. All right, the clear policy of this gambling statute is we don't want any kind of monetization occurring after the person puts their money into the machine. I think that serves the purpose of having a gambling statute. But the Hardy court was clear to say, and they left open the possibility that the right to replay could be, in a future case, legitimate if done in a different way. And here's how my client did it. He had all his machines networked to a central location. Once the customer put their money into the machine, it was never turned back into cash in any form. It was not converted to a gift certificate. It was not converted into cash. When they came with their ticket to either play a different machine or play at a later time, he would go into his computer and he would insert 500 credits. The credits never at any point in this process were converted back into currency. Okay? They were only allowed for either the prizes in the game room, or they were allowed for replay on a different device, either at that visit or a later visit. And we think that's an important... Correct, Your Honor. Correct. And if you look at 4B, it says made, if you look at it, it allows for the adaptation of machines which may otherwise be gambling devices under A as merely amusement devices. And we see this every day. If you go to Putt-Putt Games, a Chuck E. Cheese, a Dave & Buster's, they have similar devices just like the ones we have here. And the logical extension of this idea that if there is the availability of future replay, makes your machine subject to forfeiture, what the state is arguing is that there is a possibility law enforcement could come in and seize those machines from those types of establishments. I'll give you an example of one that I remember distinctly from my childhood. It was like a bulldozer. You put your token in, and that coin would fall down, and the bulldozer would push coins to the edge. You can end up getting 5 or 6 tokens on one play. Now, as a kid, I could walk out with those in my pocket, come back at a later visit, and start playing again. That would be a right to replay. Now, that is the logical conclusion if we are to believe what the state wants us to believe and to believe that this statute is meant to prevent future replay. When in actuality, when we're talking about gambling devices, the legislature has a clear policy intent. It's not to punish people for carrying around little tickets that they can come back and play later, or tokens, or any other representation of value. The purpose is to prevent illegal gambling proceeds and the vices that come with that. Now, there's never been a case that is expressly said so long as a right of replay is allowed, so long as in every case where the right of replay is allowed, are you therefore outside of the exclusion. Basically, all the cases have said is if you convert any of the tickets or representations into any form of currency, you've got a problem. And we acknowledge that. Yes, yes, Your Honor. And several cases, All-Star Amusement is one that actually predates the Hardy case. If you look, read that decision very carefully, you're going to notice that they didn't even reach whether or not it fell under B. Because they stipulated at trial that they weren't arguing that. They were arguing that their tickets had no value. Which, when you look at how they were doing their business, you would have to agree with that, because the attendant would convert that ticket into cash and stick it back in another machine. So All-Star Amusement really doesn't apply here. Hardy gives us some guidance. And Hardy drew the line at saying all rights of replay is illegal. And the reason is because the logical extension of that could make otherwise lawful businesses in deep trouble. So what we're asking for you to decide, and we believe this is a pure question of law here, is whether or not the right to future replay violates the statute. Okay? Everybody at trial conceded that this is how we were doing our replay. There was no issue as to cash payments or what have you. The sole issue is whether or not, as a matter of law, the right to future replay violates provision B. And again, well, I would say that because B sets out that it does not include the device.
I see your
point. Okay, yeah.
I'll rephrase my question. They fall within the gambling device definition set forth in 4.
Yes,
but they fall within the exclusion of B.
Correct. There is no doubt that this is the controlling statute in this case. And in likewise, just about any kind of amusement device, theoretically, because the definition of what a gambling device is includes similar electronical or mechanical devices or facsimiles thereof, that could possibly extend to blackjack games that you're carrying around on your cell phone. It could extend to possibly computer devices that you have on your house that simulate blackjack, keno, those types of devices. So I have trouble with the statute, but I cannot deny that these types of devices fall under the statute. The issue is, how far do we go? How far do we let the state go in seizing property when it's not specifically articulated that it's problematic? And I just think, as a principle, this state in this country, as a matter of fact, believes that before we go in and we seize personal property, we need to have specific criteria for what is allowed and what is not allowed. And the fact that I'm standing here today and the fact that this issue has never been dealt with shows you that a reasonable person in my client's position could not anticipate that his conduct would lead to the state's action. So because we don't have this clear delineation and it hasn't been specifically articulated by the legislature, I think we have to default back to the idea that my client's actions were lawful. And that's what we're asking for you to decide today. It's basically say, look, we know this is a hard issue. We know the trial court had a tough issue. But because it's not specifically banned, we have to side on the side of personal liberty to conduct your business, and we should give these machines back to the client. Absent some other facts, absent proof that he was turning these tickets into cash and paying illegally or something else. So with that, Your Honor, absent any more questions, I'll sit and wait for rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. There are two ways for an eight-liner machine to operate outside the penal code's definition of gambling device. One, if it grants an immediate, unrecorded right of replay, because the legislature has said that's not a thing of value. or if it awards exclusively non-cash merchandise, prize, or toy, or a representation of value redeemable for those items. That's this fuzzy animal exception that we've been speaking of.
How does this differ from Main Event and Chuck E. Cheese? I've been to Main Event. I get to play more games. I get the tokens to play more games at Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, and in fact, Your Honor, I can answer that with some personal experiences. I have an 8-year-old who is quite fond of Chuck E. Cheese and was there within the last couple of weeks. I have a backseat full of junk that we get, which are I have a whole storage bin full of non-cash merchandise, prize, toys, and novelties. The difference is, and again, I know exactly the bulldozer game that Mr. Schneider was referring to. What does not happen at Chuck E. Cheese, it does not award you tokens.
Yeah, it does. I've got a whole bunch of Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
The tokens that you get are from taking your $5 bill, putting them in the machine, and it converting your dollar into credits, tokens. When you then take the token, play it in the device, the actual machine, the game, the only thing that comes out of the machine from that point forward is a ticket.
Well, I know that Main Event, you get additional games. Your scores go up, you get additional games.
And I think in that instance, Your Honor, it's likely the unrecorded immediate right of replay. It's what we used to call when I was a kid getting a free man. That if you acquire a certain level of points in your game, you get an unrecorded right of immediate replay. I can't say, I'll take that extra man from Super Mario Brothers and play it next week. I have to play it right then. There's nothing that grants any right to take with me to come back and play. There is a very firm distinction between the types of games that award the tickets at Chuck E. Cheese and what this game room was offering. And
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we're in agreement that the 8-liners that issue fall within the definition of gambling device under 47014. So moving to the fuzzy animal exception in B, because we're in agreement that the contrivance rewards the player exclusively with non-cash merchandise, prizes, toys, or novelties, or a representation of value, which is the ticket, redeemable for those items, I don't see anything in B about the right of replay.
Correct, and that's our contention, Your Honor. The intangible right of replay is not a non-cash merchandise prize.
How do we know that Section B intended to prohibit that when it doesn't say anything about the right of replay?
The operative word that I read in the statute, and I'll acknowledge that no court has opined on this, but the operative word to me is merchandise. I think in non-cash merchandise, prize, toy, or novelty, I think merchandise modifies prizes, toys, and novelties.
Except for it says, or a representation of value, which is the ticket. And at the time it rewards the ticket, we don't know if the ticket is going to be brought back another day and used for non-cash merchandise, prizes, toys, or novelties, or whether it's going to be used for a right of replay. So how can we assume that every time this representation of value, which is specifically authorized in the fuzzy animal exception, is not going to be used for non-cash merchandise, prize, toys, or novelties?
If the ticket were the prize, I would concede that point. But the ticket itself is not the prize. The ticket is redeemable, has to be redeemable for the non-cash merchandise, prize, toy, or novelty.
Correct? They can bring the ticket back another day.
Absolutely. And that was the testimony, is that the appeal of this game room was not limited solely to the household goods, the toiletries that were in the back room that you could exchange the tickets for. At least half of the appeal was the ability to take that ticket and not have the ticket be the prize, not to take the ticket, put it on your mantle, and display it. The appeal was to bring that ticket back, and that's what all of the witnesses testified to. You bring the ticket back, and without any further consideration, take the ticket and turn it into an equal number of credits on a machine for future play.
But I'm not seeing how B prohibits that. When the ticket is a representation of value, if the ticket could only be used for a right of replay, then that would be in violation of B. But subsection B, the fuzzy animal exception, specifically authorizes a representation of value redeemable for those items, which is what the ticket is.
The ticket has to be, the ticket can only be redeemable for non-cash merchandise, prizes, and novelties, exclusively.
But that's not what it says. It says the exclusively comes with non-cash, before the word exclusively occurs in the statute prior to with non-cash merchandise, prizes, toys, or novelties, or a representation of value. It doesn't say exclusively or a representation of value exclusively redeemable for those items. So exclusively is before the item. You see what I'm saying? You're reading the statute to put the exclusively before a representation of value exclusively redeemable for those items. And the statute says, doesn't say that.
I believe that what they were, if it's not clear, my interpretation of that, and based upon the, admittedly, the circumstantial opinions that have dealt with this subsection, was that the when it says representation of value redeemable for these items, that the items is referring back to the prior clause, which was exclusively non-cash merchandise, prize, toys or novelties. What it would not allow are these abstract rights, the right to replay. It, for that matter, I don't believe you could have an interpretation that the novelty was in the fun or being happy, that you actually have to have a tangible, concrete piece of merchandise that gets rewarded.
Do you really think the legislature was thinking that deeply when they passed this statute, that they were trying to exclude people playing a game twice rather than once?
Well, I do, Your Honor, and the reason why I do is that they took care to draw a distinction for the unrecorded immediate right of replay. The fact that they included that clause as an exclusion from a thing of value means that there is at least a conceptual distinction between an unrecorded immediate right of replay, the free man to get to play again, and the recorded right of replay sometime in the future, taking the ticket with you and coming back at a later date to play the game. And that's why I think that 4701 4B and 9, that's how the two are harmonious. And I acknowledge that this is not anything that there's any real guidance from. And just reading the statutes, that's the position that I think is the most logical as to what they were trying to protect. I do believe that what the legislature was trying to protect by writing in this fuzzy animal exception were the fuzzy animals that my 8-year-old likes to go get. Now, if they didn't write it clear enough and there are ways for other forms of gaming to shoehorn themselves in, I understand that. But I don't believe that the Magic Games game room setup was what they intended to protect.
How does Main Event get to operate in Tarrant County with our vigilant law enforcement in Tarrant County when you've got a card and that card electronically records your play, the credits you get for shopping in a gift shop, or the number of times you get to play or additional times you get to play? It's all recorded on that little credit card thing. How does that escape violating the law?
I'm not as familiar with Main Event as I am with Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese. You don't have to use all your coins when you first go to Chuck E. Cheese. And you get extra coins. I know them. Got all kinds of extra coins. And you don't have to use those coins right then. You can only use them at Chuck E. Cheese. You can only use them to play. You can't use them. You can only use them to do Chuck E. Cheese things. They're not money you can go spend at 7-Eleven.
No.
Is that perhaps the difference, that you can only convert them for the novelties they have available at Chuck E. Cheese, including playing going up and down?
It's my belief, Your Honor, that credits that are accumulated must be used to stay within the fuzzy animal exception and outside the definition of gambling device, the credits have to be used solely and exclusively for the non-cash merchandise prize, that it cannot be used as a recorded right of future replay. That is my position, Your Honor. I believe that's absolutely the case, and I believe I can state with some confidence about Chuck E. Cheese's operational model, but I will completely acknowledge that I don't know about the other forms of play that might be in other establishments. But I think that it's a completely logical position for the exception to only apply to those tangible items. It doesn't have to be a toy, but I think it has to be exchangeable for something concrete, not an abstract right, not something that the person can do later. I think that you have to have a manufactured physical item to meet the exception.
The problem that I have is that the only way that unrecorded immediate right of replay comes is even an issue at all is that's the definition of thing of value. But thing of value is only used in four. And thing of value, so the immediate right of replay, doesn't seem to have any association with or it doesn't pull into the fuzzy animal exception at all.
I agree with you, Your Honor, and I think that only, and my response to Justice Dofino was that I think the legislature does have at least a small awareness of, or at least consciousness of, two separate, potentially competing concepts. This idea that you can play a video game and get an additional play, as long as you're willing to use it while you're standing in front of the machine.
And then it's not a gambling device.
Precisely.
So the only time B is ever going to come into play is when you are a gambling device.
Yes.
I mean, the machine is a gambling device. So almost all the times when B would come into play, you would have a thing of value, which could be an unrecorded immediate, or a recorded non-immediate right of replay, which
right.
would be a thing of value. That is what gets you within subsection 4.
Right.
The machine then is a gambling device. So why have the fuzzy animal exception at all if everything's already a gambling device and the right of replay, the right of non-immediate replay makes it be qualified as a gambling device, then B is a nullity. There's no need for B because everything's a gambling device based on the right of replay.
Except the panda bear or the box of macaroni and cheese is a thing of value. It is a benefit. It's something to which a value can be assigned. And with the intention to protect those items, the play for those tangible items, they had to have something drawn in to strike them out because they are, you know, I can assign value to this pen, and tangible items can have value. The intangible right of the abstract right of replay is a thing of value, and that's what the Corpus Christi Court of Appeals in the case of State v. Gambling Paraphernalia said, is that replay is a benefit. Points which allow repay without payment of additional consideration are an economic gain or advantage, and therefore satisfy the definition of benefit. So those are clearly within four tangible objects that meet the ratio of value. There has to be something carved out to allow the Chuck E. Cheese's of the world to operate. And I don't know if I feel like I'm arguing in a circle around your question, but there's nothing and there's no authority for the proposition that the recorded right of future replay is an available part of 4B. And with that, I'll stand for any further questions or cede whatever remaining time I have.
I just have a question about whether they're transferable, whether the tickets are transferable for future replay.
No, I don't believe that. I believe the testimony from Mr. Barnes was that they were not transferable. But what I don't recall is if he specifically was challenged on that point or if there was something immediately provided in the mechanism. I can certainly provide that to the court in a post-submission briefing if the court would like it.
Yes.
I will provide that answer. Thank you.
Just a letter brief.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Just a letter brief.
Oh, yes, letter brief. Very brief. Very brief.
Briefly, I just want to, I think, Justice Walker, you were right on point with your assessment of this definition of thing of value. If these machines did, in fact, have an unrecorded immediate right of replay not exchangeable for value, we wouldn't be talking about it. It would not be relevant to this statute. It would pull the machines out of this statute. What we are left with, though, is machines in the way my client was operating that did give the right of a future replay via these little, they look like raffle tickets, and they were only worth credits. That was it, okay? Credits or the merchandise. Now, we would argue that, again, I just want to restate this, because the representations of value for a prized toy or novelty in that the playing of the machines themselves can fit within the definition of a novelty, something that gives a fleeting amusement, something that is not necessarily has great value to most people. But
why
I want to.
Why can't they be a prize?
Your Honor?
Why can they not be a prize?
The tickets? I'm sorry.
The ability to replay.
It certainly could. It could be a prize. And I don't see why it could not. It would be a prize. You know, you did great on this hand. Here's your prize. You get to play again at a later date. And we see that all the time at Main Event and Chuck E. Cheese and so forth. And even more concretely, they do have these machines that you put the token in, and if you do good, it gives you more tokens than you deposit. Now, there is not a guard at the door that says, hold up, I need to check you to see, make sure you're not going to come back and replay. Now, the policy behind the gambling statute, again, though, that's what the whole drives our statutory interpretation here, since it's not exactly clear, is to prevent the vices of gambling. Now, the right of future replay at Sam Barnes Magic Game Room, the right of replay, prohibiting that and making his property subject to forfeiture, that doesn't seem like it promotes what the legislature was trying to do here, and in fact, such an interpretation would encompass a large number of entities that the legislature had no desire to interrupt. And I think that's really what this boils down to. The right of replay is a prize. The tickets are representations for that prize, or novelty, or any other place, but the simple fact is, because the legislature did not specifically exclude this, and no court has decided to exclude this, I think there's a reason for that, and that is because such a decision would not promote the policy behind the statute. And again, we'd like to argue, because this is the only ground for which the state took my client's machines, if you in fact find that this is not prohibited by the statute, I believe it's the machine should be returned. I think that would be the proper remedy in this case.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
There is no comma between merchandise and prizes. Does that mean merchandise modifies prizes? Merchandise prizes, or merchandises prizes? Merchandise prizes, merchandise toys, merchandise novelties? Or should there have been a comma there? Or what?
I think a more reasonable interpretation, because a novelty or a prize can be tangible or intangible, it would make more sense if there was a comma between merchandise. But what is the merchandise of my client's operation? It's not the toilet paper in the back. It's the right to play the games. That is the merchandise. That is the benefit he's conveying to his customers. So, you know, while it may be an intangible thing, I think in this day and age where electronics are growing and they're more used by more people, merchandise, certainly an electronic download, for instance, from Apple could be considered merchandise even though it's non-tangible. And likewise, the playing of these machines could be your merchandise. And nowadays, we've got to kind of think outside the box. No longer is it a set of horseshoes or a fuzzy bear or or a roll of toilet paper. Merchandise could be very non-tangible. And it could be data conveyed over the internet. And with that, Your Honor, absent any more questions?
No. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, your case is submitted. I do appreciate your argument. It's been very interesting, very helpful. I hope y'all were as interested as we obviously were. You are excused to go about your business in this forum.